Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Bollywood is for Lovers, part of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB. I'm Aaron Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bose. In this episode, we're discussing two films from critically acclaimed crime director Sriram Raghavan.
First up, Neil Nitin Mukesh's attempts to take the money and run go horribly awry in 2007's Johnny Gadar.
Then Saif Ali Khan tries to stop a nuclear blast while falling for Kareena Kapoor, who wouldn't, in 2012's Agent Vinod.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, traditional lands of First Nations and Métis people. Matt, guess what? Guess what?
We're sleepy.
No.
Well, yeah.
Do you want to explain why we're sleepy?
Yeah.
Sure. You go.
We just did our second university lecture.
Yeah.
For University of New Brunswick, which... For those of you who don't know Canadian geography, assuming that's a lot of you, that is three time zones ahead of ours. So we had to get up at 6 a.m. to talk for 7 a.m, and it was 10 o'clock in the morning there.
Yeah, yeah. We gave a hour and 20-minute lecture on the history of Indian cinema and Bollywood.
And I worked in the phrase "yoked dudes hitting each other."
I also quite liked nepotistic family dynasties.
Yeah.
No, Biffle nepotistic filmy family dynasties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to be loose today, folks.
But if any of the students who attended that lecture are listening to the show now, welcome. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. You get 3 free Biffle points each.
I love doing that lecture.
That's a thing now.
Though it's a bit of a marathon of getting through, again, like 100+ years of not just Bollywood film history, but we try and cover all of Indian film history in about an hour.
Yeah, we like touch on parallel cinema and then
regional cinema. Silent cinema.
Yeah. Like we don't really go into it as deeply as we do on the Hindi stuff, but yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and guess what other thing happened?
What?
You danced.
Oh my God. Why are you bringing this up?
Because I think it's important.
Okay.
You had a dance recital where you did Indian dancing.
Yes.
With a former guest of the podcast.
Yes. As some listeners know, I dance with Shreena Patel, who is the founder and director of Shakti Flow, which is more than just kind of a dance company, I guess, here in Edmonton. She teaches dance and yoga, but it's also all about female empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And Shreena's absolutely the best. I adore her so much.
Yeah, it was a big party. There was probably 100 people there, including a sitting MP in the Canadian Parliament who did have to leave, but
yes,
he was present.
Yes.
Amarjeet Sohi.
Yes, and I got to meet him. I'm quite... I have a lot of respect for Amarjeet Sohi, who, if listeners are not aware of who he is, he's a sitting MP who is a former Edmonton bus driver, but he was also wrongfully imprisoned in Punjab for about a year on suspicions, over a year actually, on suspicions of terrorism. And he's survived that and gone on to really give back to his community and try and improve the lives of Edmontonians and Albertans and Canadians. So I was kind of starstruck to meet him because I wasn't expecting it. And I was all dressed up in a Garba outfit that one of the girls I dance with lent me. So yeah, if you want to see what I look like in Indian clothing, you can go over to my Instagram. But it was very, very nerve-wracking. But Shrina put on such an amazing event, and and Shakti Flow is such a wonderful community that I'm so privileged to be a part of.
Well, you did a good job.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been dancing with Shrina for about 3 years now. And yeah, I performed a Garba number. So that was really fun.
It seemed very athletic.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Matt.
Yeah.
Embarrassing me.
Hey, the fans have to know.
Sure.
All the biffle heads out there.
Yeah. Anything else you want to get out of the way at the top of the episode?
We're going to be using biffle points from now on.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's happening.
Okay. Are they like blank checks comedy points?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
But they're redeemable for prizes.
Oh, okay. What prizes are we giving out?
We'll have to wait till someone tries to redeem mine.
Okay, so right now there's a few students in New Brunswick who have 3 biffle points each?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if they get back
to us,
if they're
listening,
we'll figure something out. So. Yeah.
All right, wonderful. Maybe if we ever make merch, you can redeem your biffle points for merch.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll start giving out biffle points for people who've left us reviews. We have no reviews this episode.
Yeah, it's almost like you people don't want biffle points.
You know what, though? I'm going to retroactively give anyone who left us a review 10 biffle points.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know. And, we'll figure out how to redeem the biffle points, but it'll happen. So this is going to be kind of a shorter episode because, true to
we say that
Noirvember form, we had trouble getting a hold of movies.
But guess what, Matt? This is what I was so excited to start at the show with before you derailed things with our recent extracurricular activities.
Yes.
We finally saw Johnny Godard.
Yeah, we did it. It only took a year from, the last time we tried. Yes. But it's available on Hotstar.
Yes. A year ago, we were hitting our heads against the wall because we were trying to do an episode and all of the films we were just finding problems with, mostly subtitling problems. This year, not all the films came through.
There is a good reason, though.
But enough came through that we have an episode.
Yeah.
So that's good.
We're waiting on Ek Hasina Thi.
Yes.
But that's because of a postage strike here in Canada and... We're both pro, Canada Post.
Yes. So Raghavan's first film, Ek Hasina Thi, we really wanted to watch for this episode because we like to discuss 3-ish films an episode.
And we have talked about some of his other movies and we have no way of watching his newest one.
Exactly. We've already discussed Budlapur and we have no way of watching Antadune. I believe it is still in theaters in some places, but it never came to theaters here. We hear it's excellent.
Yeah, people are saying it's like the best movie of the year, and we have no way of knowing.
So we did order a copy of Ek Hasina Thi, like an actual physical copy that is currently in the mail.
The seller told us were subtitles, so we'll see about
that. Yes, so we were hoping it would arrive in time. However, because there, and it would have arrived in time, if there wasn't for a postal strike in Canada. So while it's unfortunate that the film didn't arrive for us to watch it for this episode, it is not, our podcast is not more important than the postal workers striking for workers' rights.
Yeah.
And so I just really want to put that out there that, we support the Canadian Postal Union and don't think they should be legislated back to work.
Yeah, even though the Liberal government, of which Amarjeet Sohi is a part of,
is
forcing them back to work.
Yes.
But, that's off topic.
So that's a bit of Canadian politics for all of you. And unfortunately, it's been a rolling strike, so they haven't been on strike the whole time. The mail hasn't stopped.
Yeah, it switches. It's like kind of a delay in each city. Each city will be on strike, and then the next day another city will be on strike.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most conscientious way to do it.
But because of the density in Southern Ontario, anything coming from Southern Ontario or that has to go through Southern Ontario has been delayed.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Hopefully this time next year we'll be discussing Ek Hasina Thi.
Part of an ongoing series of trying to watch Sriram Raghavan films in November.
Yeah, hopefully this disc has subtitles.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that gets all of our preamble out of the way.
All of our apologies are done.
Yes. So the man of the hour is Sriram Raghavan. He won the National Film Award in 1987 for The Eight Column Affair, which was his diploma film for the Film and Television Institute of India. It was edited by Rajkumar Hirani.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess they were contemporaries in school.
Nice.
After graduating from the Film and Television Institute of India, he went on to make a documentary, Raman Raghav, A City, A Killer. And this is the film that inspired Kashyap to make Raman Raghav 2.0.
So that's why it's 2.0.
Yes. Well,
and not 2.0, the film currently in theaters. Raman Raghav 2.0.
Yeah. That film is Raman Raghav 2.0, partly because there was already this Raman Raghav, and also because Kashyap...
It's set in the modern day, yeah.
Yeah, Kashyap couldn't... After the failure of Bombay Velvet, he couldn't get the funding to make a period piece, and I think also maybe was kind of not interested in making a period piece anymore, so he adapted his idea of a Raman Raghav film to make Raman Raghav 2.0. Which we've discussed Raman Raghav 2.0 on the show, haven't we?
I don't know. It ruled.
It does rule. We've certainly discussed it in one of our year-end wrap-up episodes.
We're going to have to look. Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's a wonderful movie. I mean, it's a real good one for the holidays to watch with the whole family, right?
Yeah. I couldn't find this documentary to watch, but I would really like to see it. I get the impression that it's not easy to track down.
Yeah.
He then wrote for a lot of popular TV shows, a lot of soaps, before going on to make Ek Haseena Thi, There Was a Beautiful Woman, which was his narrative debut. It came out in 2004 and stars Saif Ali Khan and Urmila Matondkar. It's a neo-noir that borrows elements from Sidney Sheldon's If Tomorrow Comes.
So he does like his noir, huh?
He does, yes. And he's very, I mean, as we'll get to, he's very knowledgeable about crime film history and crime writers.
Yeah.
And is always borrowing from them and always referencing them. We haven't seen Anta Dune, but from what I can tell, it seems to share some DNA with Truffaut's Shoot the Piano Player.
Which itself was based on a crime novel.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So he followed up Ek Haseena Thi with Johnny Godar in 2007 and then Agent Vinod in 2012. Those are the films we're going to be discussing in this episode. But we also want to mention that most recently he directed Budlapur in 2015. We love Budlapur. We have an episode on it where we have an episode on Varun Dhawan.
Yeah.
Who stars in Budlapur, in which we discuss the film. But quickly, Matt, do you want to say anything more about Budlapur?
Well, I'll say it was a film with so many twists that you actually forgot that you'd seen it before until you did one of the most amazing call shots in history and said, okay, so in the next scene, he's going to put plastic all over the room and murder that girl with a hammer. And I was like, what? How do you know that? And then at that point, you're like, I've seen this movie. And it took you an hour to realize that you'd seen it.
Yeah, and that's not because the film is not memorable, but just because I sometimes watch...
You watch a lot of movies.
A lot of movies that... And your mind... You know, as I get older, as I approach my 32nd birthday, I realize that my mind is starting to become less of a steel trap and more of a sieve.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as I watch more and more movies annually. I watch about 700. I'm not making up that number. I know it sounds outrageous.
I'm aware. Yeah, I hear that number all the time.
I know.
You're like, oh, I forgot your birthday because I watch 700 movies a year.
But you do...
Oh, I forgot when Easter is. 700 movies a year.
You do kind of start to forget certain things. And so, I had forgotten I'd seen Budlapur until we were watching it.
Budlapur was, yeah, really good revenge film. Probably Varun Dhawan's best performance, mm-hmm. I'd say. Great stuff from Nawazuddin Siddiqui.
Huma Qureshi.
Huma Qureshi, yeah. Very, very good. I also like the angrily dancing in a factory.
Yeah.
That's always fun. And any song at the end of a movie that recaps all the stuff that happened, very fun. I always like that.
It's really, really tightly shot, tightly written. If you haven't seen it, it's a good gateway drug for Bollywood neo-noir, for Raghavan, for Dhawan. I think it's a movie that, like, especially crime fans should check out. It's a really good revenge thriller. I love it.
Yeah. Check out that other review, though. There'll be a link.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to that episode.
Yeah, to that episode where it is much fresher in our mind. And I think we recrapped the story of me forgetting it.
We were younger then.
Yeah. And as previously mentioned, his latest film, Andadun, is currently in theaters some places, not here.
Featuring the guy we talked about at length last episode, Ayushmann Khurrana.
Yeah, Ayushmann Khurrana, Taboo, and Radhika Apte.
All people we like.
Maybe it's the best film of the year. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Padmavati's still up there for me.
Which one?
Padmavati.
Oh, Padmavat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Razi too.
Razi was good.
But we haven't seen Man Marzian yet.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen Bad Hai Ho. We haven't seen Bhavesh Joshi Superhero.
I would also say Mukhabaz.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So both Budlapur and Andadun have been critically acclaimed. In fact, most of Raghun's films have, with the exception of Asia Vinod, which we'll get to.
Which is bullshit, because that movie rules.
Fair enough. Do you have anything to say about Raghun before we get into Johnny Gunnar?
I've liked every single one of his movies, and I anticipate that I'll like all the other ones I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say we'll get into this probably when talking, but it feels like that he's got a real sense of world cinema, including
especially
Hollywood
European.
And European crime films, like your 70s crime, your French New Wave messing around with crime, that kind of stuff. He seems to have really cottoned on to that, and then also, you know, fuses it into the Hindi cinema sphere. So, yeah.
He's really a director after, like, our hearts.
Yeah. I feel like if Kashyap is like a Scorsese type, Raghavan is maybe not a Tarantino, although Johnny Gadar kind of does have that 70s throwback, like a Jackie Brown or something. He's definitely one of those guys who's able to remix stuff. Maybe a Tarantino. Yeah. I'm comfortable saying
fair
that.
Enough.
Yeah.
I like him better than Tarantino though.
He doesn't seem quite as indulgent.
No.
And it doesn't seem like his personality outside of the movies seeps into them quite as much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're not really paying attention to Bollywood gossip. But he doesn't seem to...
I watch Coffee with Karan.
Well, I know you do. But, like, it doesn't seem like stories about him have really leached into, you know, popular culture.
Yeah.
The same way that Quentin Tarantino, who did get married yesterday, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he just got married to an Israeli model.
All right.
It was this really small affair. But yeah,
how are her feet?
I'm sure that they are spectacular.
Okay.
look that one up if you don't know. But I just really like the way he's able to approach pulpy material and make good movies out of it. Because a lot of people, they try to make pulp and it turns into over the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Robert Rodriguez, maybe.
Yeah.
He's never met a story that, like, he couldn't just blow way out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And Raghavan is much more constrained than that.
Yeah. I've only seen the three films so far.
Restrained, not constrained.
I've only seen these three films so far, but I wouldn't hesitate to say he's a pulp auteur.
Yeah.
And that excites me.
Just maybe like a John McTiernan type.
Maybe, but he's kind of expressly.
He's giving pulp the respect it deserves, but he's not like worshiping it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so that really excites me because it's completely in line with my own film taste, like just with kind of, you know, some of my little obsession. Do you know who it kind of reminds me of?
Point Blank era John Borman.
Yes.
Wow, how did I know?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like there's a bit of Borman in him.
Yeah, maybe not your Excaliburs,
no.
but Point Blank is definitely...
Point Blank, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Johnny Gadar came out in 2007. It stars Neil Nitin Mukesh. This was his debut.
Pretty good movie to debut on. Like, it is almost entirely focused on him and, for a lesser extent, Dharmendra. Like, he's the main guy. And to be your first movie, that's a lot to ask.
Yeah, but he's also debuting in something that's not overly heroic.
No.
So he kind of, almost in the way that Ayush Mankarana debuted in Vicky Donor, which, mm-hmm. you know, is again like a role, an off the beaten path role. This feels somewhat similar.
Yeah, he's definitely an anti-hero in this movie.
Yeah. So it also stars Rimi Sen, Dharmendra, Zakir Hussain, Vinay Pathak, Ashwini Kalsekar, and Dayanand Shetty. It is dedicated to director Vijay Anand and writer James Hadley Chase, who is a British mystery thriller novelist who wrote like 90 novels, and 30 or 50 of them have been made into movies.
Yeah, so fun fact, I went to the mystery bookstore, which is about 2 blocks away from our house, yesterday for work. For those of you who don't know, I run a small publishing company, and we have a book coming out next year that is a noir set at a circus. Mm. So I was taking an advanced copy of the book to the owner of the store. And we talked about James Hadley Chase a little bit. I talked up Sacred Games to her. Mm. She had really liked Babylon Berlin and was looking for something to watch next. And I said, well, you should check out Sacred Games. Yeah. I think it's up your alley. Yeah. So, but James Hadley Chase, well respected and mm-hmm. definitely kind of in that, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s guys who would just pump out tons and tons of books.
Yeah. So Vijay Anand is known for films like Guide and Johnny Maranam, both of which star his brother, Dev Anand.
And Johnny Maranam is definitely really referenced a lot in this.
Yes, Johnny Maranam is the inspiration for the name Johnny, and it is playing on a TV in a scene in a hotel lobby where Neil Simakesh's character comes up with the pseudonym Johnny. Yeah.
So here's a bit of a conversation I got into with former guest Paul Matwichuk.
Okay.
The name Johnny Gadar to Western film fans would point you more towards the movie Johnny Guitar,
right.
which is a kind of noir Western. And
starring Joan Crawford.
Yeah. To the best of my knowledge, this really doesn't have much to do with it. But you've got to think a guy like Raghavan would know the title at least.
I think it's a coincidence. Gadar means traitor.
Yeah.
The name Johnny is clearly coming from Johnny Maranam. Yeah, I think it's just a coincidence.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if
but
he's
it is
been
interesting
about it.
That you both had the same thought independently.
Yeah. We were just talking about it on Twitter. And, you know, I would very much like to see a Bollywood adaptation of Johnny Guitar. Because that is a very strange Western.
Yeah.
And I think I would definitely put Vidya Balan in the Joan Crawford role in Johnny Guitar.
Okay.
I think that would be a sweet movie.
Okay. Cool.
Producers, you know where to find
him. You call Karan Johar. You got a great pitch for him.
Yeah, I'll get him on the hotline. It's this like bright orange phone that we have in the studio here.
Mm, okay. So the film Johnny Gadar also references Amitabh Bachchan in Parwana from 1971 quite a bit. One of the things that I find interesting about Johnny Gadar is it's very clear that Raghavan is using a lot of references to older Bollywood films and to older crime narratives. He makes them really accessible to those that are not already familiar with them. So I believe there's a character at one point reading a James Hadley Chase novel. Again, there's references to Vijay Anand throughout and these references to Amitabh Bachchan in Parwana,
which we actually see scenes from.
Yeah.
And then we see Nitin Mukesh's character named Vikram. We see Vikram watching the movie and seeing how Bachchan establishes a alibi for himself by flying mm-hmm. to Goa when he's actually going to do something bad. Mm-hmm. And then later on, one of the characters says, what, you think I hadn't seen Parwana? That movie's on TV all the time. I know exactly what you're up to. So, like, I think that's a way that this movie is designed for export. It's a way to get people outside of Hindi cinema to understand the exact things that are being referenced.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a conscious choice that he is trying to appeal to non-Indian audiences or audiences who would be unfamiliar with these references. But it's just, I noticed that they weren't, it's not that they're really obvious or spelled out. They just feel very organic and very clear and concise, like I said.
And
he's
also
really kind of making his references and his homages known.
Well, this is the Tarantino thing, though, where it's the characters themselves who would know about that.
Yes.
Who would have seen that movie and be able to understand what each other are doing.
So it was nominated for 3 Filmfare Awards, including Best Male Debut and Best Screenplay. Mukesh lost Best Male Debut to Ranbir Kapoor for Sawaria.
I would say that's the right guy, but maybe not the right movie.
I like
Mukesh better in this movie than I like Kapoor in Sawaria.
I'm not a huge fan of Sawaria, but I like Ranbir Kapoor's performance in it.
Yeah, I don't know. That was on our mystical missing episode. You'll never hear us actually talk about Sawaria, sorry.
We'll only just reference it.
Yeah.
It did win Best Sound Design. It is critically acclaimed, went on to be a sleeper hit, and has been remade in Malayalam, Telugu, and Tamil.
Yeah, one of those is like really recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt, what's the plot?
Oh, boy. Okay, so Neil Nitin Mukesh and a bunch of guys, including Dharmendra. There's 5 of them in this gang.
Mm-hmm.
And they... So this is one of the things we weren't entirely sure about, but I'm pretty sure that a crooked cop that they know lets them know that they have a line on some heroin that they got from a drug bust. Because the cop calls Dharmendra and says, we have some really fine French furniture for you here. If you bring 2.5 crore... You can buy it, and then you could sell it for 5 crore. And the various gangsters in this gang kind of dip into their savings, mortgage their houses, mortgage their wife's businesses, and just try and scrape together as much cash as they can for the guaranteed 5 crore when they sell it all. They'll double their money, right? It's kind of a gambling subplot in here, too, because one of the guys runs a casino, and... while beating up people who he thinks are cheating, he makes them play a really weird card game where you have to pick 2 cards and then your 3rd card has to fall within the 2, otherwise you get beat up. It seems more like a means of beating people rather than an actual game. But Mukesh, smart boy that he is, playing Vikram.
Smart.
You know, it's a good plan. Unfortunately, it's one that he saw in a movie.
I mean, he's the lead in a noir.
He's got big dreams, but, you know, he got big ambition, but not the best follow through. What his plan is to follow the member of his gang, Shiva, who is taking the money to go buy the heroin. Again, we're guessing it's heroin. It's sort of drugs.
French furniture is code for drugs.
Yeah. We're thinking heroin because of the French connection.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But he's going to follow his own gang member and gas him, steal the money, and then he turns his...
with chloroform. And there's a hilarious scene where he practices chloroforming himself.
Yeah.
At first, we think he's going to chloroform his cat.
Yeah.
But then he chloroforms himself.
Yeah. But his plan is to take the 500,000 rupees that he's donating to the cause and turn it into 2.5 crore himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, none would be the wiser. But since this is a noir picture, everything goes wrong, and we are witness to him scrambling over, trying to figure out how to stay ahead of his buddies. If you like people pretending to not know something that they know that, and they're not entirely sure that the other person doesn't know, you're gonna like this movie.
Yeah, and it opens with someone getting shot, and then everything is shown
with a distinctive jacket. We know that someone wearing that jacket's going to die.
And then everything is shown in flashback, which I think is really fun for the audience because it becomes a project of just kind of figuring out how you get to that point and who was going to get shot.
It's a classic noir thing.
Where everything is told in flashback.
Think about Double Indemnity, for instance. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
There's no voiceover, though.
No.
I loved this movie.
This movie was fantastic.
I kind of wasn't entirely sure about it when we were in the setup of things, just kind of them organizing this drug deal and Vikram going off to steal the money. But then... after that point, when it started to become about the dynamics between the remaining gang members, I started to get really, really invested in it, and found it just really, really compelling, and it's so horrifically violent in places.
Yeah, I mean, it does take a little bit of time to introduce you to each of the gang members, and you're not entirely clear how they all know each other and how it all works. So the setup is a little bit difficult. But I'll say that the opening titles of this movie, awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's a complete retro throwback grindhouse trailer, essentially.
So, so pulpy. Raghavan, yeah, he likes pulp. So
and he's good at opening. He's good at opening credits too.
He is very good at opening credits. Yes, the opening credits for Age of Vinod are also wonderful.
There is also a psychotic cop who knows Dharmendra, who they bring in to try and figure out what happened to the money. Since this is a noir, there are a couple kind of loose ends, including for those of you who've seen the movie. Okay, what goes on with the nurse afterwards? She knows more than the average person about what's going on, and she kind of just disappears.
Yeah.
I thought that was maybe going to get resolved, but you know what? Life doesn't get resolved.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, speaking of kind of the roles for women, there are a couple of good roles for women. So one of the gang members' wives is engaging in an affair with Vikram, and that's one of the reasons why he's trying to get this money so they can run off together.
They want to go to Canada.
Yeah,
where he says that it snows for 4 months out of the year, and I gotta tell you, buddy, depending on where you are, it's more like six, specifically where we live. So hopefully he wasn't trying to immigrate to here.
I understand that you know, for people on the other side of the world,
it Canada seems romantic,
must
right
seem romantic and exotic,
like you got this snow. Let me tell you, folks, it sucks.
But as a Canadian, it's hard to, I don't know, think of our, I guess there's a certain romance to Canada that I wouldn't disagree with, but it's hard to really think of our country as a destination that you want to escape to.
Like, yeah, go to Barbados or something.
Yeah, usually when people want to, like,
go to Turks and Caicos,
go and start a new life, they want to go to Cuba or somewhere. Like, somewhere where they can really be off the grid.
Yeah.
Not Canada, where, you know, it's going to snow for 4 months out of the year. It snows for far more than 4 months out of the year.
Yeah. The thing that they don't...
The sky garbage never goes away. Has it ever snowed in August?
It has, yeah. I remember it happening.
It has snowed every single month.
To be fair, we live in, like, one of the most northern cities in Canada.
Yeah.
The thing that no one ever tells you is that the lack of sunlight, that's what drives you crazy. If you've ever seen the movie 30 Days of Night, we're not that far off here, up here in Edmonton. And, yes, not being able to see the sun for a long time, that messes with your mind.
Yeah, that's the thing that will drive you crazy. But moving back to the film, there's also another wife to one of the gang members, who, you know, as the film goes on, she becomes integral to the plot.
So she's more and more unhinged.
Yes, yes. And I mean, everything in this movie becomes more and more unhinged as it goes along. And that's part of what really drew me into it. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, you know, there'd be these mundane scenarios and then just, you know, like just these conversations. And this movie is great with dialogue, just the conversations between all these gangsters.
And seeing Vikram just kind of scramble to figure out how he's going to get out of the next situation, extremely satisfying.
Extremely satisfying. And it's always like a shoe, like something, like the shoe drops, and then snap, and the violence has to erupt.
So what happened to Neil Nitin-Mukesh? Because he's great in this movie.
Is he?
I think so. He's a guy who is literally in over his head. He thinks he's smarter than he is. And, you know, it's fun to see him squirm. How come he's not... He could even be like a Nawazuddin Siddiqui type, just showing up in movies. He was pretty good in New York.
Yeah.
He, like, is the main guy.
Yeah.
And he was okay in Prem Ratan Dan Pyo, but I haven't really seen him in anything else. He also thought he was going to be in Game of Thrones. I remember that coming up. He thought he would be one of the Tyrells.
Yeah.
Like, he was pitching himself as, oh, yeah, I'll do this. Like, oh, okay, sure. Of course you will.
I really like this film, but I didn't see a lot of star power in Mukesh, personally.
Hmm.
I think he's...
He's a dope in a film noir, though. That's what you need to be.
Yeah, I think this role suits him, but I can't see that I saw, like, a lot of... Personally, that I saw a lot of potential. You know, prove me wrong, Neil Nitin-Mukesh, or maybe listeners out there can tell us what their favorite Neil Nitin-Mukesh roles are, other than Johnny Godard. But this, he's good in this. He's well cast, but I'm not going to say that kind of based on everything else I've seen him in, as well as this, that I think that, you know, he really has what it takes to kind of be a hero, to lead.
Well, yeah, he's not your typical hero, but as a guy,
he's good as a noir dope. You are right about that.
And New York too.
He's well
cast. New York too. He gets set up by Irfan Khan, if I remember right, to join John Abraham's gang. Like, he's great at being a guy who's in over his head. And unfortunately, maybe there aren't enough movies about that.
Yeah. What did you think of the direction here? Because I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I had a little bit of fun just trying to figure out kind of references. One that I thought might be a little bit more obscure would be The Long Good Friday. There's a sequence of him driving his car, and the lighting and sort of synthy score reminded me a lot of that movie. I don't, you know, when you talk references like this, it's hard to tell if the director actually intended that unless it's really obvious.
Yeah, well, but it reminds you of that.
It reminded me of that, and that sort of tension building. I mean, The Long Good Friday is over like one day. This is over maybe 3 or 4 days, but it did a great job of just ratcheting up this guy getting caught.
We have an episode over at Trash on the Movies on The Long Good Friday if you're interested.
We'll put a link in the show notes, but if you're interested, just watch that movie. It rules.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
There's one of the scenes that stood out for me was they have to clean up a crime scene really, really quickly. And so the camera kind of pans away while they're cleaning. And as it swings around, everything, you know, is pristine again.
Yeah.
And then it shows you where they hit everything.
You see behind the couch and there's just a ton of Kleenexes and a dead guy.
I think that shot is genius. I think it's really, really well done, really well executed.
Yeah. The sequence on the train where he's trying to track down Shiva and knock him out is mostly quiet. And you see just Nitin Mukesh just kind of scoping the place out, trying to draw him out. And there's this great fight scene between the two of them where he's drastically overmatched physically.
Yeah.
And he's getting the shit kicked out of him. But he's also dosed his friend, essentially, with chloroform. So his friend is getting slower and slower. And eventually, you know, it comes to a conclusion. I thought that was really well staged.
Yeah, Raghavan's got a good sense of style, as well as kind of he understands how to build suspense. I love this movie. All the listeners who recommended it to us, thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally got to see it.
Yeah, sorry it took us a year to watch it, but you know, it was worth it.
All right. Anything else to add about Johnny Godard?
No. I think we can move on to Interval Song.
Yes, we are playing Rabta.
Yeah.
Probably the most well-known song of these two films. So much so, they'd go on to name another movie after it.
Yeah, and also an extremely well-directed sequence.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll see you after that. We Are Alberta is a podcast with ATB economist Nick Ford. Each episode features real stories of Albertans and their evolution from idea to thriving business. The episodes are an insightful view into fascinating industries you might not know are right in Alberta's backyard. In the third episode, did you know that 4 farms in southern Alberta represent about 25% of North America's demand for spearmint? Lynn Thacker is a mint and dill farmer in the Bow Island. Without farmers like Lynn in our province, things might smell and taste a little bit differently. Listen to find out more. For more information on the We Are Alberta podcast, go to atb.com/learn/podcast.
As we discuss, Sriram Raghavan pulls inspiration from a variety of pop culture sources from around the world. Most art is not created in a vacuum, as evidenced by Raghavan's films. Contemporary pop culture is constantly in dialogue with both the current moment, the past, and maybe sometimes even the future.
One of my favorite shows on the Alberta Podcast Network is about these pop culture connections. In Pop Cycle, Christian Zipp and Eric Newby dissect pop culture connective tissue. Episodes cover a breadth of the pop culture landscape and explain how things like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything for Love, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 are connected. You can find Pop Cycle at popcyclepod.com. To find out more about the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB, and the member podcasts, go to albertapodcastnetwork.com. So that was Rabta from Agent Vinod. Agent Vinod came out in 2012. It stars Saif Ali Khan and Kareena Kapoor, who is now known as Kareena Kapoor Khan. This is the year that they got married. So it also stars Adil Hussain, Ravi Kishan, Prem Chopra, Ram Kapoor, and Zakir Hussain, who was also in Johnny Gadar. The name comes from a 1977 film, obviously also titled Agent Vinod, though this is not a remake of that film. This is an original story with original characters.
I would like to check out the original, though.
Yes.
Because it was also on Hotstar.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
No, Eros Now.
Eros Now.
Johnny Gadar was on Hotstar.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It was banned in Pakistan for reasons that I think you'll make very clear, Matt, as you describe the plot.
I mean, for films that got banned in Pakistan, this seems like kind of an edge case.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, tell that to the Pakistani censor board.
I will tell that to the Pakistani censor board. Hey, guys.
It received mixed reviews, and it unfortunately flopped at the box office.
That's too bad.
Yeah, from what I can tell, among Raghavan's filmography, this is the one that's not like any others. So even though we haven't seen Ek Hasinathi or Andadun, those are all crime films with kind of noir elements. This is a spy action romance comedy. Like, it's got a lot going on.
It's basically the movie GoldenEye.
Yeah, yeah. And it also feels kind of similar to the later Mission Impossible films.
Yeah.
Where there's just like, there's a bit of a MacGuffin of like, a terrorist is going to explode a bomb.
And you gotta get to the
amazing
thing.
Spy needs to like hop all over the world and stop things. And,
yeah.
You know, who the terrorist is and why they're blowing up stuff doesn't really matter so much as all these action set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack was composed by Pritam. And the song Rapta, which we played a sample of, is probably at this point what this film is most known for. It's a very popular song.
It's nice, especially the version we played.
Yeah, there's five versions of it. Four of which were on the Agent Vinod soundtrack, and then one which is on the Rapta soundtrack. And this is the point where Matt complains that I made him and Shashahid go see Rapta.
No, that's good. You got it.
Okay. I also want to make a mention of the song Steal the Night, I'll Do the Talking, which is very clearly borrowing Boney M's Rasputin.
Yeah.
I wonder if they got the rights to do that.
I'm sure they didn't. But yeah.
So Pritam's Bobby will hearing it here a bit.
Just a tad.
Yeah. All right, Matt, why don't you set up this kind of convoluted plot for us?
It's not that convoluted. So Agent Vinod starts with Saif Ali Khan playing the titular Agent Vinod. I don't think we ever find out his first name. And in fact, the beginning credits of the movie indicate that it could be all kinds of names. But it doesn't matter. He gets the job done. He's the guy you call in when it's do or die.
The credits also say Saif Ali Khan
in and as Agent Vinod.
I love in and as.
Always good.
Always good.
Yeah, in and as Agent Vinod.
That's how you know you're in for a fun time, when your lead star is in an ass.
And there's so many movies that are just someone's name in Hindi films. They should do it all the time.
Yeah, Neil Nitin Mukesh should not have been introducing Neil Nitin Mukesh. It should have been Neil Nitin Mukesh in and as Johnny Gadar.
Yeah, but we're introduced to Vinod. He's been captured by some terrorists.
Maybe that would have helped Neil Nitin Mukesh's, you know, star persona.
Maybe.
If he had gotten it in an ass.
Yeah. There's a lot of contractual obligations to figure out who gets, like, featuring or and or that sort of thing in the credits. So, in an as, I mean, when you're the producer of the movie, like Saif Ali Khan is, you can ask whatever you want, presumably.
And I was surprised when it looked like Kareena Kapoor had top billing. Mm-hmm. And then Saif Ali Khan's name was like not appearing. And then it finally showed up at the end with In and As. And I went, ah, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Agent Vinod has been captured by some terrorists. I believe in Afghanistan on something called the Desert of Death. I think it was Afghanistan.
Sure. I'll confirm that.
Yeah. But he's there to blow up a kind of weapons factory that these terrorists are using. And he uses some pretty fun psychological techniques to trick the commander into, getting him out of there. We get a good gunfight. He's got a buddy on the inside, too, who they get mad at each other because Vinod almost hangs him out to dry, but it's how he's getting him out of there. Mm-hmm. They find a hot girl in a sack. They save her, and they run away in a Jeep. She comes up later in the plot, too. Just some random hot girl. It's, she's integral to the plot.
That surprised me, and I was really impressed. I was really impressed that, this kind of cold open, which I can confirm is set in Afghanistan, that ends up kind of coming back into the story. Because you usually kind of, when you see this sort of thing, it's usually just kind of like...
Well, it's an opening stinger in a Bond movie.
Exactly.
There's a hot chick there.
It usually doesn't have any importance to the plot, but this one actually does.
Yeah. So Vinod coming back to Ra after this successful... engagement is told that a decommissioned Soviet nuke mm-hmm. is out there in the wild. It's been bought by this person who's trying to shop it around. And it's attached to this expensive copy of the Rubaiyat by Omar Khayyam that's being auctioned off in Morocco. Mm-hmm. So Agent Vinod travels to Morocco. He meets a rich weirdo there who is kind of a Western fan. His mm-hmm. his ringtone is Sergio Leone themed. Mm-hmm. He's got pearl-handled revolvers. And on his staff is a doctor played by Kareena Kapoor. He's there pretending to be this flight attendant who's supposed to be transporting some money to the guy. Spy stuff, right?
See, it's a little convoluted. At some point I was like, you know what? I'm not here for the plot. It's not that I think it's necessarily hard to follow. I just don't think that it always matters.
Yeah.
matters is the action.
I guess we should say that Vinod finds out about this guy by going to Russia, which is where we hear the Boney M. song. And there's a pretty cool fight scene in a club. One of those classic Russian clubs that used to be like a Catholic church or something, and then the Soviets turned into a dance club.
Yeah.
Like they did with all the churches.
Yeah.
But in Morocco...
Like globetrotting.
Yeah. In Morocco, he meets Kareena Kapoor, who doses him with truth serum. Then they go to the auction. And eventually it winds up back in Delhi, where the group... The bad guys are going to blow up Delhi with this nuke.
Yeah.
And him and Kareena Kapoor have to figure out what to do. Kapoor is apparently working for the Pakistani intelligence services, ISI.
And that's what they didn't like about the film.
They didn't like that they teamed up?
They didn't like the way that the Pakistani intelligence agency, ISI, was portrayed.
I guess
from what I understand.
I guess their leader is killed by this criminal group kind of off screen.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't make them look like the best organization, I guess. Maybe that was it. I don't know.
And for a while there, it looks like the ending of this film is going to be the ending of The Dark Knight Rises. Which itself is clearly an homage to the best Batman film, Batman 66. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Yeah.
But then it kind of reveals itself to be something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun globetrotting adventure in the style of James Bond. I don't know what more you want.
Yeah, I will say it's hard to watch this film and not compare it to Act the Tiger.
Yes, it does seem like a dry run for Act the Tiger.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you have an Indian spy who falls in love with a Pakistani girl. So it shares kind of that DNA, at least narratively. That being said, this is a very different film with, I think, very different sensibilities.
It doesn't have a lot of the silly stuff that Act the Tiger goes into. It doesn't have the weird pan-UK sort of dance thing. It does have a fight scene on, in this one, it's a streetcar, whereas mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure in Ek the Tiger it was maybe a train in the middle of a city. But it, yeah, that seems very similar.
And there is some comedy here, like yeah. especially the end credits dance sequence, which is
yeah.
So good.
Like lots of good one-liners. He's good at playing a spy.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, people know that we, especially you, Matt, are, you know,
I'm a stan.
Saif Ali Khan.
I'm a Saif stan.
Yeah. I also love him. I think he's fantastic. And I think this is a good role for him, and I think he's having a lot of fun. I just think unfortunately it doesn't always connect, but when it does, man, is it really good. So that fight sequence that you mentioned in the Russian club is fantastic.
He also tortures a guy by making him listen to Russian music. Hilarious commentary on Russian music.
And that fight sequence actually reminded us of John Wick, which is like high praise.
You can't get better action movie than John Wick. If you're even in the conversation, that's amazing.
There's some really effective match cutting in that scene. And I'm a big fan of well-executed match cuts. So a match cut, probably the most famous one is
Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, I was going to say the most famous one is in 2001 Space Odyssey.
Oh, yeah. So in 2001 Space Odyssey, yeah. the proto-human ape throws a bone up in the air, and then the bone magically turns into a space station.
Yeah.
Lawrence of Arabia, Peter O'Toole lights a match, and then it turns to the sun in Arabia.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one, too. One of my all-time favorite directors, Satoshi Kon, constructed his style around match cuts. It's really, really amazing. He's an animator. It's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Anyways. It's just kind of a poetic way of showing time or distance or things having things in common.
Or just kind of relevance. So in this scene in particular, in Agent Vinod, Saif Ali Khan, the Agent Vinod himself, is weaving through the club, beating people up. And as he hits people, it cuts to the dancers on stage kind of doing this floor show to the Rasputin song, and them doing the same movement. And so it's just like it's almost just providing punctuation.
Yeah. It's a fun way.
It's so good.
It's fun and like not particularly expensive to do. Like you're filming both of those scenes and you just kind of mash them together. It's cool.
But
it's hard to do.
It is hard to do. It shows, it takes skill to do that.
Now,
and
here's
I
have a question
for
you.
Oh, okay.
Why do we like Saif Ali Khan better in a cartoonist spy film than we do in a ostensibly realistic spy film, Phantom, which I think is very, very similar to this story too, except in that, like, he's avenging India's loss in kind of a revenge fantasy sort of way, whereas this is kind of like a power fantasy. Like, what is it about him that makes that difference?
I don't think his performance in Phantom is bad. I think it's a little self-serious. I think ultimately my issues with Phantom are largely thematic and ethical ones.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners can go back to our episode on Kabir Khan to hear what I think of Phantom. I had a really hard time with that movie, even though it stars, you know, two of my favorite actors in Bollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But that is an interesting question. I think that film, dare I say, is trying to be more realistic than this.
Yeah.
I think Saif Ali Khan gets to be more of a hero and more of a star here. And that film, it's more like he's this vengeful force that, yeah, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think there's something about him that he's kind of a smirker, right? Like,
yeah.
You like being in on the joke with him. And when he tries to be super serious, I don't think I love it.
Yeah, which is not to say that I don't like his serious performances.
Omkara, for instance,
is
fantastic.
I mean, Omkara is amazing.
But again, Iago was always sort of a siding to the audience. Like, Othello. He's such an asshole, right? Yeah. Well, I'm going to get him right here. Just you watch.
But going back to Sacred Games, which you referenced earlier, you know, he doesn't have that kind of sense of knowing in that show at all. And
the sense of humor in that show is that he's so down on his luck, really, that his bike doesn't work. Yeah. His wife left him. And Nawazi and Siddiqui gets all the good roles.
Yeah.
All the fun stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think Saif Ali Khan has incredible range. I think when he's on, he's on. And unfortunately, I think the issues with Phantom aren't necessarily issues with him. Mm. So.
But I was thinking, like, yeah, he did have two kind of globetrotting movies where he fights terrorists.
Yeah.
But one of them is trying to be a lot more serious.
We could have done a Saif Ali Khan spy episode.
You know, we still can.
Sure, we can just...
We can edit these two parts together.
We can edit these two parts together. If we ever are strapped for releasing an episode, we
don't have time future to people, if this is melded together with Phantom and maybe some other future spy movie that he's in, you'll know that we've entirely run out of ideas.
Yeah, we've just... okay, but probably the most impressive sequence in this film is the Rabta sequence.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that, Matt?
Sure. So I'm not entirely sure if this was done without cheating, but what happens in the Rabta scene is Khan and Kapoor, they are in a sort of sleazy motel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those movies where a silencer on a gun is basically like magic.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of running around room by room, taking out various gunmen with a twink of his gun. And it eventually erupts into a full, shootout in this room. And, you know, Kapoor is ducking out with him, too. But it appears to be one long take. And either they filmed it where, it was one take and all the different actors just knew their parts to the minute, to the second.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were able to kind of cheat with, like, you know, using a corner to be a wipe or something.
It doesn't matter, though.
It's cool.
It's incredibly impressive. And it's kind of an extension of that scene that I was talking about in Jenny Goddard that I found really impressive. Where here, as the song Rabta is playing, notably by a blind pianist.
A blind pianist who doesn't know what's happening because the silencers are so silent that she can't hear people getting shot.
Do you know... the kind of character that Ayushmann Khurrana is playing in...
Oh, a blind pianist. Yeah, I'm aware.
New
yeah.
film.
He's in a blind. Movie that, you know, again, we can't see.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah.
So it's a blind pianist, and she's playing and singing the song Rabta, which is, like, melodic.
Yeah.
And really, really, really lovely. And as the camera's panning around, the violence starts to erupt, and characters who we saw earlier... are revealed to be, you know, like packing.
It's basically every single person in this motel is trying to kill them. Even, and I called it, the woman with the baby carriage.
Like, I mean,
she's just got an Uzi or something
like,
in there.
Why
we knew
is
it.
A woman with a baby carriage at this?
It's a sleazy,
sleazy motel. And you just know because you don't see the baby in the baby carriage until the camera moves around. Anyway,
yeah.
It's
cool.
It's so, so good. I'll see if it's online to put
it
in the
show
notes.
YouTube. I had actually seen the scene before, because I was looking for the Rabta song for something.
Okay.
And I saw, like, oh, this is cool. So I knew going in that there was a cool, like, action scene.
Yeah, yeah. And we had been alerted to it online on Twitter by Kimberly Tully.
There's also...
It was well worth the wait.
Yeah.
Because it happens pretty late in the film.
Yes, and the movie also ends with a teaser for more Agent Vinod adventures to come. He's going to track down a group of... you know, bad rich guys who are trying to start wars for profit. And unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen, but I would have liked to see it.
Is it unfortunate? I did really enjoy this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a fun popcorn flick.
It's a fun popcorn flick. But that being said, compared to the other two films I've seen from Raghavan, I don't know if this mode is his most rich. Sorry.
Yeah, I would say as a star vehicle for Khan, it would be fun.
I don't know if this mode is his most successful. If I had to rank these three films, this I think is the lesser work.
Sure, but don't think of it as a Raghavan picture. Think of it as a Saif Ali Khan vehicle. You know, I could see a bunch more of these. It's fun.
Yeah, that would be fun, but I would rather...
Just the same way that Salman Khan is doing the Ecta Tiger movies, you could do another Age of a Note.
I would rather Saif Ali Khan return to Race.
Yes.
That being said, we still haven't seen Race 3. I hear it's terrible. Let's forget it ever happened. And Saif Ali Khan, please make Race 3.
Race 3, the good version? I'm still holding out for when we actually
watch it.
We gotta
come back to the race!
I'm holding out for when we watch it. Eventually, Salman pulls a mask off and he's been Saif Ali Khan the whole time. I'm pretty sure that doesn't happen, but if it does, I will be hooting and hollering.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I do think this is a fun movie with some really impressive set pieces.
And it's not fun in the way that Chevet is fun, where it has good action, but is also stupid. Like, this is just, you know, a classic globetrotting spy movie done well.
Yeah, yeah, but I think there is a lot of downtime kind of between some of the set pieces. I don't think the plotting is as tight as it could be, so like, well, ultimately I think, you know, the positive stuff for me outweighed the negative, and I fully admit that because I already have an attachment and an interest to Saif Ali Khan, that there is a bias here.
And Kareena Kapoor.
And Kareena Kapoor.
And Shrim Raghavan.
There's definitely a bias that I'm bringing to this film, because it's just, you know, it is fun to see, you know, the actors and actresses that you like getting to play in a playground like
this. It seems like they're having a good time.
But I can't say I'm disappointed that there isn't going to be a sequel.
I think it would be fun. I don't know.
What do you think of Kareena Kapoor's performance?
She's fine.
Her she's last not, scene is a bit much.
Yeah, I mean, she's not really asked to do that much. Nowhere near as much as, say, Katrina Kaif in the Tiger movies, especially the second one. She's in action badass in this one. In this one, Kareena Kapoor, yeah, she's fine.
Yeah, I do like the scene where she and the girl from the opener who returns, you know, put on a bit of a performance to distract the bad guys. I think that's a lot of fun. But if you want to see these two together, I personally prefer Kurban, though they both are in Ankara.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, is probably, still, Sacred Games aside, Ankara is still my favorite Saif Ali Khan film.
Oh, yeah, it's
and
brilliant.
Potentially my favorite Kareena Kapoor film.
Yeah.
Maybe not my favorite performance of hers, because obviously it's Pooh.
Or the Doctor in Uttapunjab, she's great too.
Oh, yeah, she's so good. Yeah. God, we should do an episode on her at some point. And an episode on Saif Ali Khan. All right. Do we have anything else to add about Agent Fano, Johnny Gadar, or Raghavan?
No. Check out all of his movies, I'd say.
Yeah. And we will be watching Ekasinathi at some point and finding a way to incorporate it into an episode, provided that the disc does arrive and has subtitles. So, you know, like, we've ordered discs that have not arrived before.
Yeah.
And also, we are looking forward to seeing Anta Dune as soon as it shows up on streaming.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. We will be back in 2 weeks. It's our last episode of 2018. And we're going to be looking at films that celebrate Christmas and New Year's.
In as much as they do.
Yeah.
Like, there are not a lot of Hindi Christmas movies.
For understandable reasons.
Yes. But things taking place at the end of the year in sort of a festive way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. And also, what movies are they? Because they don't sound particularly festive. And unfortunately, we already talked about Happy New Year.
Yeah, yeah. So Happy New Year will not be one of them.
I mean, I would watch it again.
Sure. Sure. You know, as I'm sure listeners are painfully aware, because we mentioned a lot, we are Canadian and we're white. So, you know, our families celebrate Christmas. I think this will be fun.
I hate Christmas. So anytime I could just watch movies instead of attending Christmas events, perfectly fine by me.
And obviously, you know, there are many people of Christian faith in India.
Yes.
Who do celebrate Christmas. So I think this will be interesting. Maybe at some point we'll do, you know, movies that celebrate Eid and movies that celebrate Holi. But, you know, it's the end of the year. We celebrate Christmas. We're going to be looking at some movies that incorporate Christmas as a time of the year.
Yeah.
That are set...
The holiday season.
During the holiday season.
Yes. And what are they?
Well, people are going to have to wait till now.
Because we're still nailing down the movies.
Yeah. We don't always tease the titles, just the theme.
It's true.
Oh, God. You're putting me on the spot.
It's the end of the year. It's the end of the episode.
We have at least three. We get really, really busy this time of year because of the holidays. So we'll see if we watch three or if we watch two.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not promising.
We're loose. As you frequently say,
our podcast are rules. Yeah. All right, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
Well, you can check us out on Tumblr.
This is so professional.
Yes. Bollywoodisforlovers.tumblr.com. You can find us at BollywoodPod on Twitter. I'm at Matt underscore B-O-W-E-S.
I'm at Erin E. Fraser, E-R-N-E-F-R-A-S-E-R. You can like our page on Facebook, facebook.com/BollywoodIsForLovers. You can also find selected episodes of this show on G Radio. If you're a fan of the show, please consider leaving us a star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We will read them out on air and give you biffle points.
You can get biffle points.
Maybe at some point you can redeem for something. I have ideas.
You better get the biffle points. They're going to be tough to come by.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're pretty rare. I think I might have been a little bit hasty in giving three out to each of those students. But we'll see.
Well, we'll see if they ever contact us to redeem.
We're starting our own cryptocurrency, folks. It's real. Biffle coins.
Anyways, while you're over at Apple Podcasts, you can listen to the show that I do weekly with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Art and the Movies. We have an episode coming up on Jane Campion, and we just released one, on hairstylist movies. So we discussed Barbershop and Shampoo. I love Barbershop. It's really fun.
Shampoo? Meh.
Yeah. Anything else, Matt?
No. That's all I got. We're tired, folks.
Oh, my God. Thank you to the five people still listening who haven't moved on to the next podcast. I would have moved on to the next podcast in my queue.
No, there's some good shit here at the end. You gotta listen all the way through.
If you say so.
Yeah. Anyway, bye.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.